Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Yes, it's on the phone,
on the phone
from his home,
a WIP.
It's a WIP afternoon show, like Spike and Fritz. Every Friday at 3, we're joined by Elliot Shore Parks. The call is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com, where cars and trucks are so cheap, cheap. How are we feeling, Elliot?
Dude, can I just say,
yes,
there is no more loser take out there than Jack saying the same person can't win both homecoming king and prom king.
Oh, yeah. That's a bitter man. That's a bitter man right there.
The take of a nerd.
Yeah. I had it locked up.
Yeah.
I was on both of them, homecoming court and
in Jack's defense, I couldn't even run for prom king. Like, if you won homecoming king, you couldn't run for prom king.
But you're not out here advocating you should be able to run again.
Right, yeah.
A rule to impact his popularity. I mean, come on.
It's real beta energy from Jack, if we're being honest. Watching another man dance with his wife.
Should I tackle him?
Yeah.
Run out there and tackle him?
Look, man. There's a word for what happened to you. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it in the air.
It was just a friendly dance. There were just a normal dance.
Okay. Slow song?
I'm sure.
I don't know what song it was.
Yeah.
Too busy looking through tears.
Okay. Elliot, you asked Sirianni, you were curious. You asked Sirianni. You asked Sirianni how the vibe was all week, and he said everybody had put it to bed. But you're down there. Have you felt the the ripple effect of Monday, Tuesday, or does it feel okay around there?
I would say it feels pretty normal. Like, they in general have a pretty loose locker room. You don't normally see Jalen joking around in there, but like AJ was joking around with all his teammates today. He was actually in the locker room, I would say, more than normal this week. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but his
presence, oh, believe me, it was.
Yeah, it was definitely around, and like, he was being his normal, like, he gets along with everybody in there. Like, all the offensive linemen were joking around. So I think that just talking to players, outside of just the vibe in the locker room, but I think there probably was a little bit of worry from some of the players, like, all right, how is what happened Monday going to impact the team? And from the guys I talked to, it seemed like everyone thinks they genuinely feel they responded to it well. I think they basically addressed it on Wednesday and moved on. I don't think there were hours of conversations or anything like that. So it seemed pretty loose and regular down there.
Yeah, and I would have to imagine that starts with Jalen and AJ. I mean, a lot of those guys are sitting around, taking their cues from those guys. If those guys certainly have put it past them like they say they have, and they've gone about their daily work as they typically do, the teammates are going to pick up on that. And from what you're saying, what Nick is saying, it seems like they picked up on that early. Once it was addressed Wednesday, everybody was ready to move on. I mean, that's a good thing. But I think that starts with those guys. Like, if those guys are certainly giving off that type of energy, everybody else will feed off that energy.
Yeah, and look, I think back to, I think it was after the Seahawks game last year. AJ Brown hadn't talked for a few weeks.
Right.
He finally talked to the media. I was there, and I thought, okay, this is the turning point they need. AJ broke the tension. I thought he did a great job talking, last year when he addressed why he wasn't speaking. And I thought AJ did a really good job this week when he spoke, talking about it. But the reality is, the like what happens on Sunday is going to dictate whether they've moved past this or not. They said all the right things last year too, right? When it came to how they handled it and all the controversy. This year, right, they're saying the right things again since Monday night, I guess I should say. But on Sunday, if they come out and they lose this game like 21-13 and the passing offense isn't going, we'll be right back at square one. So good start to getting over it, but it really is all about Sunday.
Let me throw this in there. Not necessarily pushing back against what you're saying, but just offering a different perspective on that and based on Sunday. And I think Sunday can be a lot of trigger. And I've heard this. I heard Jack talking about it last night. And people are putting emphasis on the results of Sunday's game. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But this idea that if they don't win Sunday's game, somehow we're headed down the drain with the season. I'm not necessarily buying that. I want to see how the game plays out. Maybe Pittsburgh just comes in and out. Plays us, right? Like that could happen. I would be more interested, E, in how do they handle the loss if it's a loss, right? Like they could lose a game, and if everybody realizes, okay, we could all do better, and we're not pointing a finger, and we all realize we got to get back on the horse and get back out here next week and find a way to get a W, I can live with that. They're not going to win 15 straight games. They're going to lose a game, and we can't be unfair to them. I know it's difficult coming off of this week, and I get that part of it. I'm not ignoring what has happened this week. I'm just saying I would rather see how the details play out in the loss. And then I want to see how do they handle it after the game. Are they losing as a team, or are we still complaining about the passing game or other things? You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's a team, we win together and we lose together. Like, that's the biggest thing, is not keeping stuff in-house. That's why this thing had turned out the way it did this week, because they let inside business outside.
So where I would agree with you is, the Steelers are a good team, right? So yeah. Like, there is no shame in losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if they, let's say, won last week 30-whatever, and there's no controversy, and they lose this week, like, not the end of the world. So from a standing perspective, I do agree with you. But one thing I kind of sense, and Nick talked about this too earlier, when he talked about, like, every Monday he makes sure he shows the players video of them celebrating. Like, Michael Clay, the special teams coach, obviously, said he made sure to talk to his unit about enjoying the win. They put pictures all over, like, the NovaCare of guys celebrating, right? So I think they're aware that this is, to some degree, like, an emotional team, right? Like they need
yes.
to make get up for these things. So my worry is not that if they lose this, like, you know, they're in big trouble. I just wonder how the players will react to it, especially when you have Washington on the road next week, which I think is a game that is certainly winnable. I think they're better than Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But last year taught us that, like, seasons are fragile. Like, no matter how good you are, they are fragile. And if they lose two in a row with this group, like, I don't know if there's a guarantee they recover from that.
Leadership has to get better and stronger, man. I'm trusting in this leadership. I like the way they've handled this week. The leaders can't let this thing spiral out of control. I mean, they can't. I understand exactly what you're saying. What I'm saying is, if that were to happen, now I'm questioning the leaders. Like, because
right.
you can't allow this to get to this point.
Right.
Yeah,
and by the way, the two guys involved are both leaders.
Leaders
on
the guys with the C's on their chest.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. The only thing that has me not thinking that they will not collapse again, because that would be truly insane if they did it. It's just that they do have a much, much better defense this year.
Yes.
So last year, while there was the emotional part of it, and obviously Jalen was turning the ball over, AJ was upset, there was all that, their defense was also just a complete disaster. So I just think their defense this year raises the floor, I guess I should say, so much for where this thing could go. Because, like, the problems really aren't on the defensive side of the ball. Like, all the drama.
Sure, yes.
It's all on offense. So
yep.
The defense, it's funny, you know, I talked to Jalen Carter today, and it's like, you know, how's the week been? He's a leader on the team. How's the week been? And it's basically, yeah, it's pretty normal, right? So I think on the defense side of the ball, they're not really impacted by this much. Although, ironically, Brandon started it. But outside of that, like, everybody, I think, is on the defensive side of the ball, it's like business as usual.
So let me ask you this then, Elliot. You're talking about, you know, Sunday and how big it is. If I give you the situation I started the show with, was I give you these two choices. Choice number one is Eagles win 23-20, but everything looks the same. Passing game looks the same. Everything looks the same. Scenario two, Eagles lose 34-30. Passing game looks good again. He's not thrown 40 times, but he's taken the throws that are there. Maybe throws it 28 times. I don't know. But the stats and the feel look good, and the passing game looks good. Which of those two scenarios would you choose?
You said a loss for the second one?
Right? A loss for the second one, right. Yes. Well, obviously, if they're both wins right. And one of them has a great passing game. But the second one's a loss.
I think the first one. I can't risk this team losing two games in a row. And, you know, because if you lose this week, again, like Washington, there's just no guarantee you go there and win that game. It's going to be a big game. I feel like they never really play well there. So I get what you're saying, that I think there would be a certain sense of victory if they play well in the passing game and everyone, like, the tension gets cooled a little bit. But ultimately, if they lose, like, just the pressure on the next week is going to be so big. I think they can deal with drama to an extent. I think what they couldn't deal with is, like, internally seeing a loss. So I think a win is more important.
Yeah, I think it's a tough, and the one seed part of it, by the way, is a huge factor in all of this, because I think I don't know what the difference in the line would be between playing here in the NFC Championship game or in Detroit, but I can tell you I would give them a lot better chance of winning the game if it was here as opposed to Detroit.
I would agree with that. The only thing I would say is if they go on the road to Detroit, they get. Playing it obviously at home has its advantages. You get the Lions outside, you're home, obviously. But I do think there is a tension to playing in front of these home fans sometimes, that if they go on the road, they get to, like, you know, band together, like, they're underdogs. They get to go in with that, as opposed to what it would, like, if it was in Philadelphia, they would be expected to win. Like, the result should be, and I think the fans would expect it, like, you have to win that game. I think there would be some benefits for this team of getting away from the pressure and, like, going to Detroit and trying to beat them there. But yes, obviously, if you had to pick, you would pick it here.
If you're worried about this,
with a pillow tied to your butt so you can have something soft to sit on, man.
I'm just being honest with what
Jesus
I think from being Christ around the team.
That'd be better, Taylor.
I think they would fare better almost in Detroit. I'd still pick.
What are you talking about? You had a nice normal conversation going on in this phone call. Then you go with the whole, I think that it'd be better in Detroit if they're on the road.
There is a tension to playing at home in Philly that they have to deal with in Detroit.
Oh, it was so tense in the 2017 NFC Championship game.
Yeah, 38-7 over the Vikings.
Quarterback, as you like to bring up all the time, so you can't pick and choose.
Oh, it was so tense in the 2022 NFC Championship game.
Yeah, it wasn't really tense.
Can I tell you, Elliot, what I'll say is this. If you think that the team is better off on the road, then you do not believe that this is a Super Bowl team. No real Super Bowl team is like, we'd rather get away from the pressure of our home city.
Hold on. I said I would pick the game in Philadelphia, just to be clear. But the point I was making is I do think the benefit of being on the road is, like, I mean, you see what it's like this week, right? With all the –
We would be in the NFC Championship game. What are we going to be complaining about that week?
And all week – they'd be here all week.
What are you talking about?
They'd be here during the week. It's not like they wouldn't be surrounded by the media during the week.
We're going to celebrate. Listen, we're going to be excited.
They have the best road record in the NFL since Nick Sirianni.
All right.
They do.
Let me ask you this, E. So if they both play their A game – what's the difference? Who you got? It's home field, right?
Right. Well, you're saying if they both play their – yeah, then I guess in that way, that's a tough one. I think they're better than the Lions, but I think, yes, I would prefer –
We mean if the Lions play their A game at home where we're going to beat them?
I think the Eagles' A game is better than the Lions.
I think, listen, I was the first on that train. I like the way you like to take over everything. Once you get on board with something, you just run with it completely.
Late once again.
Well, you're welcome to take the better away from home.
All I'm saying is that I think there are two very closely, evenly matched teams. Both have weaknesses and strengths. One could argue the Lions' offense is better than the Eagles' offense. The Eagles' defense is better than the Lions' defense, right? I don't think anybody's going overboard by saying that.
Nope.
You want to get that Lions offense out of that dome.
Yeah. They're way less effective out of the dome than they are in the dome.
I agree. That's why I said I would pick to play it in Philadelphia. I'm just saying there is
but
this
see.
Team definitely is a bet. Why do you think they win on the road all the time? Like, I think there is
– they're not beating 12-1 teams on the road all the time. I tell you that much.
The Chiefs win on the road all the time too. Is it because the Kansas City, there's too much pressure at home?
I don't know. I'm not in Kansas City.
Oh, but, God. Well, you were there last year, though. You had a good time with Hugh.
Yeah, it was. Me and Hugh did have a fun time.
That's enough out of you, Elliot. This is not Tuesday. You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. Comes out every single day, so you can have 25 to 30 minutes every morning of infuriating
Dress warm
opinion.
Sunday, dude. Dress
yeah.
warm.
Yeah, what does your warm weather attire look like? You have like a Teddy Ruxpin jacket or something? Like, what do you look like when it's cold?
So I actually got this really nice suit I was thinking. It's linen. It's a nice light color.
For the end of December?
Yeah, I was going to bring it out on Sunday. What do you think?
All right, Elliot. Thank you, man.
All right.
There he is.
All right,
Elliot Sherwood-Parks. He finds a way.
He does.
He said, now look, I would rather be in Philadelphia. However.
But.
They have an advantage going to Detroit.
What are you talking about? You go play that NFC title game in Detroit if you want to.
This is why he. This is what the lie detector test. Elliot.
That's why they couldn't pin him down.
Yes, Elliot doesn't take the lie detector test. The lie detector test takes Elliot. Elliot is they don't have technology to figure Elliot out.
No, he needs his brain study.
Yeah, we're not saying we wouldn't be rooting for the Eagles going there, but my goodness, what do you think the spread's going to be in that game?
And
if the NFC title game's in Detroit,
if we're in the NFC championship game, we're going to be excited all week.
That's what I'm saying.
We're not going to be
not
like
worried about complaining.
Are AJ and Jalen friends in the middle of NFC championship?
In the middle of an NFC championship week.
Come on. 215-592-9494.
See how it's been this week? The NFC championship week isn't going to be like this.
No.
Well, at least we hope
it'll
not.
Be like
unless,
last
yeah,
week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They win. Someone said something after the divisional round game.
They win the division series, but they win by running the ball.
Right. Yep.
And they're like, you know how we got to win the Super Bowl? If this quarterback could pass, then it would maybe be a different kind of week.
Who would ever come up with that?
Yeah.
They'll find a way.
Yeah. You're looking at him, buddy.
Nah, Big Lou. Yeah, I was looking at him.
Him, yeah. Big Lou and Sewell. You're on WIP. What's up, Big Lou?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
What's up,
Big
brother?
Lou?
Spike, want to let you in on something.
Yes?
You got the best show on WIP, bro.
Oh, we know it.
Never a doubt.
But we like hearing it, so thank you, man.
I know. It never gets old.
Does not.
So, it's true.
So there was a couple things. I'm going to go through them real quick.
Yep.
First off, you've added something else to the fandom card. So there's certain things that you check off if you're a Birds fan, right?
Yes.
A win is one of those. We got to win. I don't. Passing will take care of itself. You got to have a win. The other thing is, if you're a grown
what was that
man,
noise? I don't.
That was his stomach.
I don't agree. I don't agree that passing will take care of itself because in this conversation, it has not taken care of itself on Sunday.
No, it will. I'm just telling you it will.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's going to just fix itself, but they will fix it. That's my point. So anyway, the other thing is if you're a grown man and you're a Birds fan and you didn't cry when BG got hurt, that's another one. Another one when Jason Kelce retired.
This is really...
I did not cry when Jason
I was just about
Kelce
to say,
retired.
John Ritchie cried when BG got injured?
No, not the way Ritchie cried. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, okay. Like a man cry, like a little well up.
Yeah, that was something I wouldn't want to say on the radio.
Okay.
Soft?
Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
So it went all day.
Yep.
And then the other thing, Ike.
Yes.
I hope you're not driving, brother, because your words are not coming out too clear.
So that'd be better, Taylor.
You don't want to get stopped while you're on the road.
Yeah, he would fail that test.
I thought I had a brain cramp right there, man. That's all that happened. That's all that happened right there.
I heard it like three or four times. Was that the drop or was that you?
No, that was the drop. Yeah.
Okay,
that's Jack
okay.
constantly playing the drop, yes. Okay. Like, that'd be Jay with a new toy, yes. Play it again, Jack. That'd be Jay with a Taylor.
Now we can talk about football. So,
I thought we'd already done that.
Yeah, didn't we just talk about
that? The Steelers play a 3-4. So what's going to happen is that they have the best, one of the best run defenses in the league. I get that. But they're going to load the box. They like to bring pressure. They always like to bring pressure, which means we're going to get a lot of one-on-one on the outside. And I think the passing will come. We got to run the ball, but we're going to have some one-on-one coverage on the outside. And I think that's what's going to happen.
They other teams have lowered the box against them. The other thing is I was reading an article this week from Ben Solak at ESPN and sort of mentioned about where they try to push Jalen Hurts out of the defensive coordinators. Like have noticed that they can push him to go to one certain side.
Oh, like, yeah. He can, he's going to that right side.
Going to the right side.
Yeah.
So then they push him to, they know that he's going to do that, and they push him there and almost force him to have to throw across his body to get to the where the routes are. So I think it'll be, whether they stack the box or not, I think it'll be interesting to see how he handles it, because a lot of times he does not need to leave the pocket when he does. And that's what takes away, what he does is when he escapes and he doesn't need to, he's basically taking away an entire side of the field that he can work with. And so what he ends up doing is either throwing across his body or not throwing. That we see one of two things. Before, we would see him throw across his body and maybe throw a pick. Mm-hmm. Now what he's doing is he just runs to the sideline and throws the ball away if he doesn't get sacked or he scrambles. So I think it'll be an interesting challenge for the offense. Joe, Big Lou, you got a power couple for us?
Yeah, and I got proof of it. So, and I know it's not.
What does that mean?
You'll know what I mean when I say it, Jack.
Okay.
It's me and my wife, because we produce Louie from Nebraska.
That is, yes. Brother, you ain't winning.
This family is out of control.
This family is, yeah.
Making a point. Yo, take Mark off the text line, please.
Oh, well, Mark, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is, but we don't need to hear Mark singing text line.
Oh,
wow.
Wow, that's
Big Lou coming in with takes today.
Yeah,
ooh,
Big
boy.
Lou firing. Yeah. Thank you for the call, Big Lou.
Him and his wife, a power couple.
Power couple, yeah.
It's produced a golfer and...
And a baseball player that
baseball player.
Had bad knees or something.
Our friend, when Wolfie visited yesterday afterwards, one of the questions he asked me, he was like, hey, do you keep Mark's voice on the text line on purpose? Was that a conscious decision? And I think we all just kind of, I just kind of like it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just kind of funny. If John had a problem with it, I think he would tell us, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he sang it great.
A part of the show.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
That's a staple.
It is.
Like, I don't think any of us can sing it that way.
No.
Listen, and quite frankly, keeps him alive here.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. His legacy
is
there.
Exactly. It stays.
I'll never forget when
he's part of the show.
When he made that song, and I've told this story, and they did it the first time instead of Ben Livingston's tweets and texts, and Ben hated it. And I didn't know that he hated it. I walked in the studio and I said, oh, we should just do that every time. And the life drained out of Ben's eyes because he knew his segment was over.
His segment was over.
Yeah. Those two are kind of like AJ and Jalen.
They were.
Kind of.
They did not have a great relationship.
Kind of.
I remember,
it was a working relationship.
Well,
I remember the night Mark's recording it. I turned around. And
the text
like,
line recording?
Yeah. I saw him sitting there like singing into the microphone. I was like, he's like, well, how do you think this sounds? And I'm like, yeah, I think it sounds pretty good.
I remember once John was complaining about Ben. And I looked John in the eyes. I said, you can complain about Ben all you want. I want you to know I am not firing Ben. No matter how much you complain about him, Ben is staying. So you can do whatever you want. But
even though there was a perfectly capable option in Knights.
Oh,
you got
man.
It.
You were still green around the gills, boy.
I was green around the gills until about two years ago.
Yeah. Yes.
You're still green around some of your gills.
Happy baby, Roo Taylor. It's fight back.
It's always attacking Ike. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So there's two segments on the show that Ike loves the most. One is Flyers and 50. We don't have that today. The other one is my least favorite segment of the show, Tornadoed Shapiro's game day forecast.
My guy. So, somehow he's been in my past and he's picked out a lot of things that I've done that I didn't think anybody knew about.
Yeah, you guys hung out a lot. Tornado Shapiro's game day forecast is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz coming up at 4. Jaws will join us as he does every Friday at 4. And then 4:30, your final chance to win Creed tickets. You will have to sing for them, though. July 12th, Creed coming back. Tickets on sale now, but we have one more pair in 1 hour. Every Friday at 3:30, whether I like it or not, we get the Tornado Shapiro game day forecast. Tornado, welcome.
Jerry, I know, honey. I love you too. Chrissy Cat, I'm going to go.
Tornado, we're on. Tornado, we're on.
Hey, hello, man. Tornado Shapiro game day forecast.
Let's see what this moron has for us today.
Oh.
We've got some weather for you, friend. It's old Pennsylvania. It's all outdoors, and it's all Tornado Shapiro. Music, please.
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Well, we got the Pittsburghers traveling east. I spent a lot of time out in western Pennsylvania, Big Beaver, PA. I know Ike Reese is a big fan of Big Beaver.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, I can't say I disagree with you there.
Little Beaver never hurt you either. Come on. But right, that name goes all the way back to pre-Columbus era, big fur trading area. You know, in olden days, Europeans used to crave the beaver for its soft, thick coat of fur, for its warmth and texture. Europeans hunted that beaver to near extinction before Columbus reached the Americas. And you know, with the kids today, well, you really don't see much of the beaver anymore unless you go into some retro neighborhoods and over 55 communities.
Okay.
Beaver's actually an old Indian word meaning feels great, but it'll cost you a fortune.
Okay.
Of course, Beaver Falls, home of the Joe Namath rest stop out on Susie Colbert Boulevard. A lot of pilgrims travel there to kiss the Susie Colbert plaque on the wall, and you get a couple of shots of Liberty Pole rye whiskey in you, then lean in and say, I want to kiss you. Kind of like the Blarney Stone in Ireland in County Cork over there.
Yeah,
I did the weather for a number of years over at KDKA. That's when I instituted my own Rooney rule. I never dated a girl old enough to remember who the hell Art Rooney was. I grab my neck roll.
Okay.
We had a secretary at the station we used to call the Immaculate Receptionist. She'd take on anybody.
Okay, this just keeps going. There's no weather here.
I remember one day I'm hanging out with Frenchie Fuqua, along with Doc Ellis, Ike Reese, Franco Harris, and Emma Lou Harris.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty good group.
Yeah.
We're all piled into my conversion van. One thing led to another. All of a sudden, the ball caromed off her back. Looked like it was shot out of a cannon. I think about it now. It's like it's all in slow motion. I never saw a ball dangle in the air that long. I shot right back at Harris, and she knew exactly what to
do. Okay. All right. Cut.
Yeah, it's fun looking back now, but wouldn't you know it, a couple of years later, Harris accused Frenchie Fuqua of trying to make a Primanti Brothers sandwich out of it.
No.
Claim she still had the French fries to prove it. Hello.
Can you give us the
forecast? We're after the weather, man.
Give us the forecast.
It's a forecast that's a lot like the women from Pennsylvania.
There we go,
Bridget
again.
And bitter. And watch out. If you hang around Beaver County long enough, you're bound to get wet.
Okay, will you give the rest of the forecast?
Sunday, a balmy 42 degrees at kickoff, but the temperature dips as the game goes on. Bundle up, kiddies, in the fourth quarter when the Eagles are sitting on that lead, running the football. You better be wearing some rain gear.
Oh, there it is.
50-50 shot of rain on Sunday. The most accurate forecast in the country. From Shapiro. Tornado Shapiro. Music, please.
There's no music.
Oh, my goodness. That would almost kill me.
The retirement community is live.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man, oh, man.
Oh, geez, man. Oh, goodness gracious.
I should have known. I heard Beaver Falls. This,
yep.
This was not going to be a good one.
You knew where it was going to go. Wait, in the car, in the van.
Who's all in the van?
It
again?
Was in the van. It was Frenchie Fuqua,
yep.
Doc Ellis, Ike Reese, Franco Harris, and Emmylou Harris. Immaculate Reception in the van.
Oh, man. He said, I've never seen balls dangle that long.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. The official
is going to kill us, man.
Yep. The official sponsor of the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Get your holiday shopping done, would you? Marks-Jewelers.com. What would you prefer on Sunday? Man. A win like the win over Carolina or seeing the passing offense operating at a high level? Ike, we're at 50-50.
Man, I'm over here still crying.
Yeah.
Trying to pull it together, man.
Yeah. Jack, will you save us with some bad Phillies news?
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
Hosko's better than Tornado Shapiro.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I know. He's out of control.
Yeah, that was outrageous. Well, Tornado lost it a little bit in the middle there.
Oh, man.
He did. Yeah. He had to also pull it together.
Yeah. Well, bad news today, huh, Jack?
Yeah, bad news. So the Chicago Cubs trade for Kyle Tucker. So another difference maker, another needle mover, as they say.
Yep.
Is off the table. Isak Paredes, Cam Smith, and Hayden Wesniewski to Houston.
Is that a big prospect haul?
Yeah, for 1 year, yeah.
Isn't that weird that the Cubs would trade a bunch of prospects for a one-year player?
Yeah, well, especially because they're not supposed to be in World Series or bust mode. They're probably trading Bellinger and or Saya Suzuki.
And if you're Kyle Tucker, you can't sign early. You have to hit free agency, right?
Yeah, I would be shocked if he didn't go to market.
That's crazy.
I know. Yeah. So, like, the Phillies package there would have probably been... It's Bohm. Comparable to Paredes.
And it's Miller.
It's probably Aiden. It's the problem with the Phillies right now is they don't have a prospect that's close to Aiden and Painter.
Who's the other guy that keeps getting mentioned?
It's Crawford.
Crawford.
Yeah,
right.
In my opinion, he's a little below Aiden. Huh. So they don't have that other guy they can trade.
I actually thought this was some sort of ploy to, and obviously a switch that quick in less than a day. But I was thinking, okay, maybe they don't get rid of Tucker right now, and they wait until the trade deadline, and then maybe you can try to slide in there and get him then.
Yeah, well, what's crazy? Well, if the Cubs fall out of it, they don't think they're going to pay him.
Right, because he's still on the last year of his deal, right?
Yeah. Unless they extend him, which I don't think they will. But what's so crazy about what the Astros are doing is that they're going to let Kyle Tucker go, who's 100% a better player than Bregman, but they want to still re-sign Bregman. Like, why don't you just give Kyle Tucker that money?
It's going to cost him more?
Well, it's going to cost him probably, more. But also, what are you doing with Bregman? I don't know. We'll see what happens. But this is a juicy one this morning.
They got a couple of World Series under their belt that they could.
Well, so Kyle Tucker has one.
No, I'm just saying the Astros can sort of. Yeah, well, they don't have to feel desperate to do anything, right?
And the Astros never give anybody these deals that are happening now, these 10, 15 years, the Astros don't do it. The Astros usually top out like 6-7 years, right? So they don't, if these guys are going to want 10 years, they're not going to pay them. Right. So that's how they keep replenishing. That's how the Astros stay competitive year after year after year after year. You know, they have guys to replace the guys that end up are gone.
Like the Braves.
Yep, like the Rays have done usually.
But this is a juicy one from Mark Healy, who does some MLB Sirius radio.
You're going to like this, Ike.
He said, heard the Cubs like Pete Alonso, which Scott Boras recently confirmed. Mariners also have been linked to Pete, but I think that's posturing. Also heard Phillies are thinking about signing Pete, which doesn't make sense, but good source, so worth monitoring.
How about that?
Yes.
The polar bear.
Hold on.
So
that means Bryce is going to the outfield?
So there's two options.
Okay.
Schwarber goes to left field, and Pete is DH, or Bryce goes to the outfield. Now, Pete used to be a bad first baseman, but he isn't anymore. I would say he's slightly above average as a first baseman.
But we still believe Bryce is the better defensive.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
But Pete's not a disaster.
No.
He's not. What's our guy? I forgot his name already.
Reese Hoskins?
Reese, yes.
No. Yeah, he's...
He's better than Reese?
Yeah, I think
so. First base?
Defensively, yeah.
Defensively, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, of course, too.
The other one, yeah. Yeah, I got you on that
And
one.
Putting Schwarber in the... Schwarber's is not a good outfielder.
He played four games in the outfield last year and pulled his hamstring.
Well, so Bryce...
That's from all day running first to third, man. Yeah. He was
Dude, I'm not saying that Pete Alonso is... And I think that there's not... And Jack has mentioned this... John, there's not a market for Pete Alonso out there right now. Nobody's giving him big money. Mm-hmm. If the Pete Alonso deal ends up being, he doesn't fix exactly what ails them, though it does give them a natural cleanup hitter. Pete Alonso is a natural cleanup hitter who could hit cleanup. There's no issue there.
Like, if you're going to run it back with Bohm and you can't get rid of Bohm, at least get him out of the four spot.
Yes, and I think Pete Alonso does that. And the other thing is, I imagine that the deal that Pete Alonso is going to sign is going to be a 2-year deal. It's going to be for $60 million, and it's going to have an opt-out for Pete Alonso after the first year if he wants him.
Like the Reese deal. Reese signed a 2-year deal worth $17 million a year.
Yep.
And he had an out after this year. Now he opted back in because he didn't have a great year.
The thing is that both Bryce Harper and Trey Turner, for the right player, have to be willing to go to the outfield.
Right.
They have to. Bryce, I know the whole thing, and Jack, you would know this better than I. The whole thing about moving Bryce to first base was
prolong
his career. Yeah. But when you play outfield, you're just standing there.
It's actually less action.
I think so, right?
Maybe more stressful on the arm.
I think that would be the issue, because he's had a couple arm issues out there because he has bad throwing mechanics. But I just think that, listen, I think you have to put it on the table now. They've said a couple times he's not doing it. I think that's crazy. It's the only way for a relatively, because it seems like they don't want to really go over the $301 million luxury tax thing, because every dollar spent over that is taxed at 110%. So I think that's a real concern. You don't have to spend Bregman money on Pete Alonso or Christian Walker.
And he does make them better.
He had 35 home runs last year in a down year. Like, and I cannot stand Pete Alonso. And you
have not been a big fan. And that's why I had to retweet that tweet of yours. I'm like, whoa. I've never seen a positive tweet from Fritzy on Pete Alonso.
I don't care anymore. I need something that makes
something
the team
done,
better next year. And if it's Harper in the outfield, I just don't know how you. It has to be on the table. It has to be on the table.
Now, left field is less of a strain on the arm than right field. So couldn't Bryce just play left then?
Yeah.
If you're worried about his arm?
I would rather put Cassie there, but sure.
Yeah. So then we have Bryce and left. Then all.
There's more action out there in left field, though.
Yeah, but less on your arm.
Yes.
But less on your arm.
Yep.
The whole thing with Bryce not moving, Trey not moving, the team paid everybody. They paid a lot of guys. They have not accomplished what they need to accomplish. These are two guys that are capable of playing those positions. Bryce is capable of playing outfield.
Somebody you can bring in to help the team.
Not asking, this isn't, look, Trey's going to move there eventually for the rest of his career. If it was Bryce, I'd say, hey, this is at most a 2-year thing. Mm-hmm. While Pete Alonso's here, let's try to win. So, Jack, end of day, if it's the only thing out there, would you support a Pete Alonso first base sign?
Yes. Wow. Ooh, I know.
How about that?
I know. I don't know what to tell you. I'm down bad.
Yeah.
I'm down bad.
Well, they haven't done anything. And the Yankees trade for Devin Williams, who's a great reliever.
You move Alonso into that four hole.
Yes.
Mm.
You move everyone down. You move Bohm down. You move Castellanos down.
Yeah.
Or Christian Walker. I would rather have Christian Walker.
They're not going to sign Christian Walker.
he's from here.
Yeah, but
he's a free agent.
Yeah, but it's going to be one of those 8-year deals for
Christian Walker.
Yeah,
he's getting 3 years, $60 million.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I'd rather have Christian Walker.
Then why don't we just go do that?
I'd rather have Christian Walker.
Now we're cooking up ideas.
Okay.
Christian Walker or Alonso. Let's go.
I think the Yankees are getting Christian Walker.
I agree.
I'm almost sure that the Yankees are getting Christian Walker. I'll put it that way. I believe that was part of their plan, even signing Soto, that they would have enough to also sign Christian Walker, because they have to replace Rizzo. They have to replace Anthony Rizzo.
They did Williams today, right?
What's that?
Do they get today?
Devin Williams.
Then they got a pitcher, right? It was an older pitcher.
Max Fried.
Yeah.
So I guess they're looking at, that's $750 million. We can just take that and get four more players.
Yep. And they traded Nestor Cortez for Devin Williams, so they clear that spot for Fried.
Oh, that was a trade.
Yeah.
That was a trade.
Then they lost Clay Holmes to the Mets, but Devin Williams comes. Devin Williams is a better closer than Clay Holmes is. So the Yankees have gotten better this offseason. Mm-hmm. I mean, they lost Soto, but they've improved in other areas.
They're not sitting out the offseason.
Yeah. Wow. Would you have ever thought that Jack
that
would
tone.
Be...
I hear that tone. They're not sitting out the all season.
They're not sitting on their hands. Yes, they're still operating like they want to win a title next year.
Last question. Do you think that they are sitting on their hands because Dombrowski's trying to be too perfect or too cute? Or do you think they're sitting on their hands because he is restricted from a salary standpoint?
I think it's both.
You think it's both?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's the second one, yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing, that nothing's dropped. I think they're also waiting for the perfect trade.
Yeah, if something sort of benefits them,
yeah,
they can jump in there.
So I guess the next move I would look for, if they're, you know, to watch out for, is there's two. There's Saya Suzuki from the Cubs.
Yep, because they have to trade one of those guys.
He's one of their outfielders. Yep. They want to make him a DH. That pissed him off, so he wants to get traded.
Okay.
280 hitter, 25 home runs. And the other one is Ryan Helsley, like the Ryan Helsley, Arenado,
yeah,
possibly Brendan Donovan thing. Yeah. Arenado, I'm just waiting for the Arenado to the Phillies thing. He's perfectly cooked. He's owed a good amount of money. And he's a quote-unquote winning player.
Arenado would be a terrible move. I'd rather keep Bohm.
I would rather keep Bohm, too.
I'd rather keep Bohm. I don't want to commit to six more years. He's got like a bunch of years left, right? Arenado does?
No, he's got three.
Okay. I'd rather have Bohm than Arenado at this point. All right. Because, by the way, if you end up at the trade deadline, Bohm has more value at the trade deadline.
Yep.
All right. Back to the Eagles, 215-592-9494. Matt in Malvern, you're on WIP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Spike. Hi, Jack. How you guys doing? Happy Friday.
What up, Matt?
What up, Matt?
I hate to pivot all the way back to the Eagles because I was a...
No, we're back.
No, you need to pivot. Yeah, get us back. Get us back.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, fair enough. Going off the hypothetical, I don't really think that there's a question. I can't believe that it's 50-50. I would much rather take the win and have the passing offense look bad again for the simple reason and the fact that you're still playing for the one seed here. And it truly comes down to the rest of the schedule for both us and the Lions. We're a game back from the Lions, and the Lions have Buffalo, Chicago, the Niners, and the Vikings, right? So of those two, they've got two challenging games and two likely wins. You look at our schedule, and we've got Pittsburgh, Washington, New York, and Dallas. We've got two challenging games and two likely wins, the challenging games obviously being Pittsburgh and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to catch them, you need to win one of those two challenging games at a minimum. I don't care if the passing offense looks good. You need a win this week because you need a chance to catch Detroit. With this new 7-team playoff, only one team getting a bye week, that bye week is more important than the passing offense looking good. I think it's a no-brainer.
I don't think it's a no-brainer because I don't think your chances of getting the one seed are very high, and I don't think your chances of winning, I understand your position. I don't think it's a no-brainer is because I think you've got a very low chance of getting the one seed, and you have almost a 0% chance of winning the Super Bowl if you don't get this passing game back on track. So I would basically say, you know, I'd rather have the win, and I want both. We all want both, right? But if you're going to tell me it's a win or the passing game looks good again, I'm going to take passing game looks good again because I think long term, if I'm looking over the next 2 months, that serves us better than this one win does. I think. Yeah.
Okay. To play devil's advocate with that, you're absolutely right. I the passing offense needs to improve. I don't think anybody's questioning that. But if you get the one seed, you are going to have an extra week to put in the work with the passing offense to prepare for the divisional round of the playoffs.
But that's if you get the one seed. Talking about these other games. But remember,
I'm talking about the other games,
but remember, to get the one seed, Detroit needs to lose twice, and we need to go undefeated. So there's no playing games the rest of the year if you want the one seed. Detroit's got to lose two times, and we have to go undefeated. So it's a tough putt. It's a tough putt. Give us your tough putt. Yeah.
But when Louis does it, he gets mauled. When Louis does it, he's an idiot that plays golf and plays Dungeons and Dragons.
Look, Louis's family is on. I got my eye on them. I'm monitoring them.
They are a cocky family.
They are. They can't decide which one is better because they think they're all the best.
Sounds like an Eskin.
So yeah, maybe it does. Matt, so for next question today, it is Power Couples. It's Taylor Swift's birthday. The winner gets a hand and stone massage and facial spa gift card. Give us your Power Couple.
I got Rob McElhenney and Caitlin Olsen. Mac and Sweet D.
From Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
From Always Sunny, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I'm not a big fan.
Kate Olsen as in Mary Kate Olsen?
No. What's her last name? It's not Olsen, is it?
I thought he said Kate Olsen.
No.
He said Kate Olsen. I don't know what
her last name is.
He did say Kate Olsen.
D from Always Sunny.
Yeah, D from Always Sunny. Rios. Go ahead. What were you saying?
None.
Rios in North Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Rios?
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
Mm-hmm. Can't be interrupting Rios, man. Nope. What's up, Rios?
What's going on, gentlemen? Hey, I mean, ain't it wartime within the state?
It is.
Talk to me.
Hit the music, Jackie.
Jesus 59. Episode 15 of Love and Hip Hop. Is this what we're doing now? Stuff coming out from within the family without, by any means necessary, closing the door and not coming out till it has been handled. And there are multiple ways to handle or address issues. But oh, feelings and emotions get the best of us, and we start talking to people in ambiguous ways, giving the world something to talk about. Like my mother said to me a long time ago, men don't sit around and bong ching chen. That is saying gossip in Spanish. All the bleepery given to the world's media to gossip about and throw all types of negative bleepery out there. I know this ain't who we are. I'ma believe that we was being calculated and giving the world something to stir the pot. Because we want to add to our inspiration of keeping the world's energy against us. Because they never liked us, and quite frankly, we are some barbaric a-holes. The devil is a liar, creeping around trying to instill suckerism in us and to tear us apart. Why? Because we are doing something right. We are men of violence with honor. We are stoic. We are unbreakable. We stand tall with class, but we will whip your ass. We ain't taking no prisoners. So get down or lay down. This is our state. We are the Pale Town Assassins. So Pittsburgh, you burn your girl and we will steal her too. We giving y'all all stimulated welcome into the concrete jungle where ain't nothing sweet. We are cold to the blood and built to go. We put blood on the grass and bleep mistletoes. We are the Christmas cancelers, and we are taking all y'all presents. The Grinch, my ass, we are freaking Philadelphians. We are the backbone of eradicating suckerism. No one can be us. There are no others like us. This is where America started and where violence against results was invented. So don't like us. It don't matter. We make the rules and send you all with black and blues. So go where you feel comfortable and safe, because it is not here in this place. Hey, Spike and Fritz, what makes the grass grow?
Blood!
I can't hear you.
Blood!
Stay grabbing your balls.
Whoa.
There you have it. The Pale Town Assassins. It's wartime, gentlemen. Blood on the grass. Let the violence be with you. E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles, I'm Rios from North Philly, Hunter Park, a.k.a. the Star Major of Philly. You cannot threaten me with death when I already met the mother sucker. Always be a threat. Philly 7 out. Peace.
A lot of ball talk on the show today between Rios and Tornado.
Happy Bago, Taylor.
Happy Bago, Taylor. Jaws joins us next.
We'll see if we can follow up that
poor
Rios
guy.
Call.
Poor guy. Hey, Ike, where can people see Joe Conklin?
Pull it together. Yeah. You can see Joe Conklin and his many friends with the City Rhythm Orchestra at the, what is this, Asplundit? Happy Baby Road, Taylor.
Asplund?
Yeah, Asplund. Asplund.
Yeah.
Is that the theater at Westchester University? On Friday, February 21st, at the Broadway Theater in Pittman, New Jersey on Saturday, February 22nd. It's the story of Philly sports through music. You know you can find your tickets. They're great holiday gifts at JoeConklin.com.
All right, Jaws is next.